You were one of the first people to float the idea of a referendum. We just had that debate. It was rejected. What's your takeaway from that?
I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. I think what we saw with the debate was the an establishment hit job. I think once the idea of the referendum went into the public domain, the establishment did all they can to, or they could, I should say, to ensure that it wouldn't take place. So I think what we saw last week was certain patsies, predominantly from the Legislative Council, wheeled out in order to argue the government's case for them against holding a referendum. And ironically, I found that a couple of people without any legitimate mandate from the public were quite easy to argue on the virtues of democracy, which I found to be somewhat ironic, given the fact that this would have been probably the biggest democratic vote in the island's history.
We'll look at some of the arguments against, and I'll just play devil's advocate against you. The Attorney General warned that the Act in its current form actually risks dragging the judiciary into political problems because they would be the ones that have to set the question. Chris Thomas seemed to think that he could update the Act in time for a general election.
I would agree wholeheartedly with Chris. I think whilst legislation is there, it could be amended, it could be updated, and I don't think it would take too much political will to have the necessary legislation in place by September next year.
Some people said that it wasn't a binary issue, so they couldn't just say yes or no. It's such a complex issue. It involves energy security, infrastructure, food security even. What would you say to that?
I would disagree. I think it is a binary question. I think this is the biggest outlay of cash that the Manx government are looking to spend, and I think that the public need to have a direct say on it, whether they are for it or against it. And I think the question is basically that simple.
And is it just the cash which is your fundamental concern? For example, the wind farms, they were initially meant to be in the region of £20 million, and now we're looking more at the kind of £40 to £50 million. Is it primarily the cost?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, a lot of people I speak to, no one wants to live in a dirty world. Everybody wants to live in a clean environment, and within reason, I think people are willing to make certain sacrifices for that. But however, making ostensibly our people colder and poorer to their detriment, I don't think is a good idea.
Some people express concerns. They warn that climate referendums are susceptible to conspiracy theories, culture war narratives, and distortion by vested interests. What would you say to that?
Well, I think this is kind of statist narratives, where nowadays they're using the term of misinformation, and we did hear that word used quite often and freely in the debate, that it's a settled science, and which it isn't, the fact that anybody who seeks to upset the status quo on this is effectively a conspiracy theorist. I mean, I think Mr. Peters had that levelled at him a few times, and it's not the case. I mean, there's plenty of arguments for and against, and well-researched arguments. But I think, I think it's a bit demeaning to basically to state that the people don't have the required intelligence level to make an informed decision themselves. I think they certainly do. The people who think the islands should be run best historically are the Manx people. They know what's best for the island. They're very lucid and can give a very keen insight into what is good and what is bad for the island.
Much of the net zero work would likely need to continue regardless of a vote, though, wouldn't it? Because things like lowering energy costs, improving home efficiency, those are all parts which fall under the net zero umbrella, but they would be continuing anyway.
Well, yes, but I would take exception with the lowering of energy costs. I think, the strange paradox in this is that the green agenda, if you like, the net zero agenda, has to be subsidised. So the money has to come from somewhere. So the subsidies goes onto people's bills. So effectively, the consumer is subsidising the agency which is selling the power to them.
There were comparisons drawn to the UK's Brexit referendum, where you've got half the people saying, well, we've given you a mandate, go and do it, and then the other half saying, well, we weren't informed, or we want another vote. People said that would be incredibly divisive.
I think that ostensibly comes, Christian, from people who still won't accept the Brexit result. You know, I mean, it was a clear mandate. It was the biggest political mandate delivered in the UK's history. It was conclusive. Unfortunately, the establishment wouldn't accept the result, and perhaps that's why Brexit hasn't been realised to its full potential. But of course, there would be people within our Timwald who probably would be what we could term Remainers, who used that Brexit argument to try and sway opinion around to their narrative.
Well, what do you think the kind of strength of feeling is in favour and against net zero?
The trouble with net zero is it's an abstract. No one can quantify it, so no one can actually put their finger on it and say what it is. And no one can actually tell us categorically when it is achieved, and when it is achieved, where do we go from there? So, as I say, it's something that is perplexing to a lot of people. Basically, people just want to have affordable energy. They want to have reliable energy, and I don't really feel that that's altogether achievable through using what people refer to as renewable energy. I think, you know, we've got a perfectly good gas-fired power station in Paul Rose. I think it's got many years ahead of it. It cost an absolute fortune when it was commissioned, and I think we need to get the best value out of that.
One MHK said that no formal petitions on Timwald Day had been submitted calling for any sort of amendments to climate policy. Do you think that in itself speaks for itself?
Well, I think we might see it then in this coming year, in this coming July. I think, you know, what we did see, I think, very clearly was the establishment closing ranks. They were determined that this motion wouldn't succeed. As I said, there was several patsies wheeled out to do their talking for them. And we then had an amendment which was put forward by Mrs. Barber on behalf of her department, which I would say was drafted by activists within the department, which completely torpedoed the motion. So I think what it has achieved is that net zero, I think, will be one of the foremost questions at the next election alongside housing. I think it's probably fired the gun for the general election campaign. And lastly, I think it's allowed us to see basically what the Legislative Council is, which is effectively an establishment block vote, which is wheeled out to do the establishment's bidding when it's required.
That's not necessarily true, though, is it? Because the North West Area Plan, it was LegCo that defeated the government there.
Well, I think, again, that the North West Area Plan was something that needed to be revisited. I don't think it addressed many issues, and one of them, in my opinion, is transport. You know, when I was in the House of Keys, I was quite a strong advocate that we need to look at using infrastructure that we already have, ostensibly the railways, in order to create good, sustainable, green transport for the islands. You know, we need to start taking the cars off the road. We need to start looking at things like that, which, you know, might sound a bit conflicting with what I've just been saying, but that's the way I think that the island best achieves basically net zero.
Just final thoughts. It's often argued that the public can already express their sentiment through things like the general election, and that was one of the points that was made in the debate. Policy should be shaped by elected members based on evidence rather than public ballots.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, obviously, as I say, I think net zero is going to be one of the foremost topics at the forthcoming election. And I think it's for those people on the doorstep to look the Manx public in the face and make their argument, whether they're for it or against it. And, you know, I think a lot of people will be questioning them quite thoroughly on what their commitments are and whether they will stick to their principles on it.
If there are a lot of MHKs that are elected who are not necessarily against net zero, but they think that it's not being done in the right way. You've spoken about the establishment quite a lot. Do you think that there is the ability to actually drive those changes, or do you think they're going to be pushed aside?
I think it would be quite a battle, to be honest, Christian. But I think, you know, if you're standing for the House of Keys and you put forward what you wish in your manifesto, then you have to have the courage of conviction in order to argue that. And if you're in a position to ensure that your manifesto is seen through, to ensure that is the case.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.